Place your against the following, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Far more automatic. And again, it does concern me, especially when it goes on for so long. This is like the third or fourth time this has occurred. And obviously, I don't know why. But today, what did I do? I took a hike. I know you're shocked. And, you know, in reverse order, I obviously did the farmer's market. He didn't have onions. What a horror. I did pick up my boots again. And again, see, the thing that's so amazing is, you know, they're already dirty. But replace the heel again. And and he put some, because it's getting, anyway, the guy does good work. And I'm really appreciative. One of the things I've realized is that these shoes, these boots that I have essentially walked the equivalent distance of roughly the entire United States from coast to coast. I put a few miles in those boots, so they were a good investment. But before I did that, I stopped at Kingsway Press. And what did I pick up? Oh, a postcard. Brand new postcard. And, oh, by the way, I picked up, you know, obviously a stack. Oh, by the way, I picked up a lot of them. So I am prepared for at least another day or two. So this is the fourth printing. And I'm tired of it. I don't want to do this anymore. But I'm not giving up. You know, when I first did it, I had the big promise on there. Then I added the "he begged us" in reference to this, in reference to MetaView. Then I added Molech, because I did a study on that, which I think was very interesting, because obviously, you know, we typically use the expression "sacrificing your children to Molech." As I did the study there, you know, because Molech in one case in the Septuagint is translated not as the Ammonite god, but the Archon. So sacrificing children to the state is quite applicable, or an organization. But now another link, the Endure thing. And if you go there, it just re-forwards it to the promise, because my intention, Endure, you know, hupomeno, which is the idea to stay under. It's two words that are put together, to stay under. So when you endure to the end, you know, a lot of times some of the definitions is the idea to tarry behind and things of that nature. And then, of course, from that, you get the idea of, you know, on your own strength, which I don't think, and I intend to go into that. I don't think that's what it really means. I don't think, because again, it's abide under. And it seems to me, in what I've checked thus far, it's the idea of abiding under Christ. It doesn't matter what happens around me. I abide under Christ. And you can see it, because the endure term implies that out of my strength. No, I abide under Christ because I'm trusting his strength. But anyway, I'll do that in some depth. There is the issue of, well, I had I did some additional research from the things I mentioned yesterday about Target. And, post doing the video, and just like yesterday, helicopter. See, again, I'm over because virtually, you know, somehow I'm on the flight path between here and the hospital that's about mile and a half away, maybe 2 miles, mile and a half. Yeah, between a mile, well, roughly mile and a half to 2 miles. Because I did go visit my friend Jim Leonard when he enjoyed some time there. there were several things that were mentioned yesterday. And so I did some additional research, and, you know, the Tuck friendly, and we discussed this today. One of the things we discussed today is this idea, this Tuck friendly, and it's kind of like, that's not a term I can recall until recently. And, you know, because apparently what it means is, especially for those of us who are male, we have a particular appendage that sticks out, that noticeable when you dress with tight clothing. And actually, you may notice, and boy, have I, especially with one particular woman, a woman has a different area of her body that kind of sticks out differently than a man's. So this idea of tuck is to kind of squeeze things so they don't look like you're of a particular sex. And, you know, in particular, the issue at Target with their pride section was to hide the male organ. And the issue I thought about is, being a male, and I'm familiar with this, I am quite aware that if you put pressure on that particular part of your body, it's less than comfortable. So, how on earth can you do this? You know, I cannot hide it to the degree that would show me more feminine. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. And so I don't understand the mentality of that. And what we discussed is, you know, again, it's the passage in Acts when Paul is there and says, oh, I see you're very religious, looking at all the statues and whatnot, and you have the thing to the unknown God. He used the issue that was at hand there and says, let me point you to Christ. So we thought about this, okay, tuck friendly. You know, the issue is, there's the, you know, you're trying to say that there is no difference between a man and a woman. Well, in the beginning, God created the male and female, and there is no authorization to change. The way you are created is the way you are, because God said so. God made you this way, not on a whim, but by purpose. So I would suggest, maybe the issue is, I want to stop you from advertising this stuff. No, I want to use that as a way to, let me point you to the reality, is that you cannot change your sex. You know, or your gender. You cannot change your sex. If you're male, you're male. If you're female, you're female, period. And why has that happened? Because God made you that way. Oh, let me tell you about God. Anyway. But I also saw two other things, because this, apparently it became one of these viral videos. Both of these actually did. But, you know, this guy, Walsh, who did the What is a Woman video. You know, and tell I heard about the What is a Woman video. I don't think I ever heard of this guy. Apparently, he's very pop. Daily Wire, I think, is which, again, it's one of these polished news media type programs. And, well, you know, anyway. I don't dwell there. And I don't think I've seen anything besides snippets of his program, and only since that issue. Well, now I have two from his program on Kozlowska.org. You know, one is what Target is doing is far worse than anything Bud Light did, which, you know, in a sense, I agree with, because, you know, the issue about Bud Light is, apparently, they were trying to get younger drinkers, which means they're going to a younger crowd, and course, prepping those pre-legal age to want to follow in this. But, and what they used, obviously, was a man pretending to be a woman. And this didn't go over well. But what he pointed out, and I think this was, I don't know if it was this one or the other one, boycott Target, we have let this go too far. Okay. In one of those two, he pointed out, with the Bud Light issue, if I go to a store and I was in the habit of buying Bud Light, I say, well, okay, I don't want to buy them. I'm going to buy whatever else is. I'm not a beer drinker. So I I don't know. So it's, you know, it's kind of like coffee. I don't like the smell of coffee. I don't like the smell of beer. So I avoid both of them. But anyway, I do drink a good tea and I do drink wine. But anyway, but beer, just don't like the smell of it. So what he pointed out makes sense. If you go to a store, I am hardly inconvenienced. Instead of buying brand A, I'm going to buy brand B. Not a big deal. The one gentleman, because I, you know, a friendly relationship with a gentleman, a local store where I do buy my water and my toilet paper. You know, because we've talked a lot of things about, because he was born in India. We've talked a lot of things about culture and things of that nature. He's a follower of Christ, so it helps the relationship. And I did ask him, has he seen much of a change in that? And he says only slightly, because most of the crowd in that particular area, they don't know what's going on. So it really hasn't been that much of an issue, apparently. But the other thing he mentioned about boycotting Target, that idea, is it's not a big inconvenience to get something, a different brand than Bud Light. Target, if I say I'm not going to go there, where am I going to go? Going to go to Walmart? What's the difference? And so it's kind of like, and that's the issue of, you know, it's like the Coke Pepsi thing. You know, if you go back many years ago, decades, many decades, there was more than Coke and Pepsi. There were several other, many other vendors of soft drinks. And what happened over time, Coke and Pepsi bought up their competition. So you basically had, for the most part, there are still others, but for the most part was Coke and Pepsi. That's what we have today, and that's what we consider it. That's your choice. You have Coke or Pepsi. But the reality is, I think it's the major holder of both Coke and Pepsi is State Street. No, Vanguard. One of the big holding companies that hold, you know, buy a lot of other corporations. So you think you're dealing with different companies, but they're joined at the hip. So it's a facade. And if I say I don't want Coke, I'm going to Pepsi, you're still going to the same ultimate owner. Well, you know, in a sense that your choice has been removed because all the smaller players have been bought up by the two big ones, and of course you don't have much of a choice in the first place. Well, the same thing is true with the Target and Walmart issue. I don't know where the ownership is, but the issue is I've basically been whittled down to two choices, Target and Walmart, if my habit is to go to the big stores, which, you know, I used to be guilty of. That's why I think it's so important to promote the smaller stores or the, you know, the individual vendors, you know, or, you know, obviously the farmer's market. So because now what they do is they own you, because what are you going to do? If I buy my clothes, my paper towels, my bath soap and whatnot, and I get it always at Target. Well, for this one issue, I'm just not going to go to that part of the store. I don't want to be inconvenienced. So we'll make a little protest right now. And we'll say, oh, this is unfortunate. And then we'll just kind of let it go, become quiet, and we'll go back to Target. I would suggest you probably see the same thing with the Bud Light thing, that it'll become quiet and things will go back as normal. That's my suggestion. But in the process of doing that, you know, and it gets back to that issue of what do you do as a follower of Christ? We don't organize. We don't impose. We do proclaim. But it's just like the idea of I can take this tuck issue and take it from there, and not saying the homosexuality is bad or the transgender stuff is bad. But let me point you to Christ. Why are males males and females females? If we don't have that fundamental, the secondary issues, what we do, we don't have the same foundation. Now we're dealing with the world, and there's no point. You know, what do we have to do with judging the outsiders? It's those within. Proclaim within, absolutely. Very strong. Engage each other. Are we following Christ? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? To encourage one another. But to the world, use this as a way to point to Christ. Because if they don't have that, it doesn't matter that they tuck themselves. Ugh. Anyway, but in the process, I found, I got to a video that's called The Unvaccinated, Nobody is Safe. And a gentleman who's apparently been for a few years takes this huge conglomeration of videos over the years and takes out a whole bunch of little snippets in order to show you that there was a consistent message about the importance of the vaccine and whatnot, and you know, and the nobody is safe, because it's a line that's used. And then, of course, over time, it became, let's move on. It's all over. The ramifications, what's happened, we won't want to talk about that. Because now we have a different issue to talk about, whatever the different issue is. Oh, it's Target. Boycott Target. That's our focus. What I find fascinating is there's the COVID issue, but also because this is what I've been striving for in a slightly different way, I want to be able to connect all the things that, you know, personally I have, and give the tools for somebody else to do personally what they have accumulated through their observation over the years, and be able to do this, what you see in this video. You know, because the issue with that video is you have these little snippets, and yes, that's a great reminder of the hyperbole that was going on and the sensationalism and so forth. The same guy did another video talking about because I had it about the Nord Stream bombing. And it's, oh, Russia did it, Russia did it, Russia did it, Russia did it, Russia did it. Over and over again, it's obviously Russia. And obviously, it wasn't Russia. I mean, it made no sense back then. But, you know, to see that now, it's kind of like, why do people listen to these people? The news anchors and whatnot, or, you know, it's insane. Because what they promote is emotions, and there's the echo chamber thing. It's equivalent to, I guess I'll put those links there too. What's the company, the media company Sinclair Broadcasting. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy, that video. Because, again, it was a common narrative that they had all their local stations produce in order to make it local, but you had a central authority giving the common message. And I think what you see with this Be Afraid and with the Nord Stream bombing video is a whole bunch of different news people, political figures and whatnot, virtually the same words. Because it's the common narrative, it's the echo chamber. And they're the ones that, because it was in the Nord Stream video where there's one guy who says, well, obviously it's not Russia. And it was, what? And they cut the guy off. They literally cut the guy off. But anyway, so I find that fascinating, and I do think it's worth considering. And again, the difference is, I think when people do those kind of short compilation videos, it's kind of like, yeah, it's a great reminder, but I want to give the tools for somebody to be able to say, okay, it's not just a little snippet, but here's the original material so I can be reminded of it if I wanted to explore an issue, especially years later. especially something that I'm familiar with, especially when I've seen it over and over and over again. It's the, well, like the COVID thing, the COVID, the Zika virus, the various other things that happen. You see the same message over and over and over again. And often you see the same players. In that case, Fauci, and so forth, you know, for decades. So to be able to see that may put in the hands of some people the ability to say, you know, hey, you're pushing a fraud. Anyway, but one other thing, because, and see, the issue is, I asked Chris via email later. Not don't forget to mention. I saw a video on Al Jazeera, so while I was eating my afternoon meal, what are the root causes of modern-day slavery? I saw the title and I says, oh my, because Al Jazeera, especially their inside story, I've seen, oh, maybe a dozen of those over the years, and most of them are, wow, but anyway, I watched this one and it was reasonable, it was quite reasonable, and some of the things they mentioned is kind of like, where did they get those ideas? Oh, was it from this modern-day slavery video? You know, from Coco to Sex, A Fighting Chance for Some, or Offering. Anyway, the parallels are striking. I mean, really striking. You know, because they brought up things, you know, just little things that I remember. Because it was a lot of things were said in passing. You know, because again, when I wrote the script for the modern-day slavery video, what I did is I wanted to make sure a whole bunch of things, the various different aspects of it, were mentioned, even though I didn't have the time to go into, you know, I tried to keep it short and it was 14 minutes. You know, I'm so good at keeping things short. But, you know, for example, I mentioned the fishing industry and he made the same, one of the gentlemen did make the same comment. I think it was the host. I think he made the same comment and said, this is an issue that's hardly talked about, but it's very real. Which, you know, and I even use photos. But anyway, but, you know, in the mining area, they talked about solar panels and cell phones. Because what I think that goes back to is this boycotting Target thing. I don't want to do some, well, yeah, that's important, but it's going to inconvenience me. So let's not address that issue because I don't want to address something that will inconvenience me. Same idea. Because solar panels, you know, the issue with solar panels, the unspoken thing about solar panels, one is the toxic materials that are used, are mined often with slave labor in order to produce the materials, and the environmental damage that causes, plus expenses, the pollutions that are put out in the manufacturing process, makes solar panels not quite the wonderful thing. Oh, and the same thing is true with cell phones, especially like cobalt and lithium and things of that nature that are mined that are very toxic. And again, it's slavery. And just a real quick thing, I heard somebody mention, I don't know the veracity of this either, but apparently a lot of the wind turbines in Europe, because they're having some trouble, you know, producing enough energy. So a lot of them run on diesel engines. It's kind of like, what? You know, apparently keep them going. You know, maybe this, I don't know, maybe it's because the wind isn't fast enough, so they make it run. So because it generates electricity and it gets a little bit of wind. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I don't know the details. I just thought, fine. But the other thing they mentioned is child brides, because, you know, because as they suggest, that's a lifetime of slavery. And, you know, the issue with a lot of these things is you can embellish. And again, that's why it's a difficult issue. But, you know, again, it's the proclamation idea rather than the imposition. You know, that's why I do have if somebody comes, if I go to somebody, you know, again, it's the Oleg Melnikov example. If he goes to somebody and basically says, do you want freedom? And they, yes. Are you basically allowing me to act as your agent? And it's, if it's yes, then he can be the strong guy that says, this person, man, woman, whatever, child, I'm taking them away from you, the slave owner, and setting them free on their behalf. You know, because when you act as somebody else's agent, because of their request, I think you're doing an appropriate service. If I go to somebody and say, I'm going to outlaw what you do, now I'm going to impose an authority. There's the difference. And that's why, you know, again, the Shofar Leaks project, the objective there is to protect the whistleblower, to protect the sex slave, and to facilitate reconciliation. With the common technology, because part of the objective that molded over time is to put into the hands of someone who says, I don't like the situation I'm in. And it's not, I want somebody to outlaw this or whatever, because if I turn to an organization, they may not be my ally. But give them the tools. So for some of them, they're not relying on a third party. They can do it themselves, their choice, and perhaps set some free. That's the underlying goal. That is definitely the underlying goal. I have had some issues, and it appears stability's back in place. Receiving part of emails back in place, the logging and the tools to see things have become real nice. And I'm like, well, 3 months behind, but now that's back in play in a sense. So June has to be a big month on pushing this, because I'm running out of time, but I can get through June. But there's a problem. But tomorrow, software and other things may not be my focus, because you may be aware that there's a holiday coming up. So my friend Chris is taking a 4-day weekend. He's getting tomorrow off. And there's a possibility, maybe possibility, that tomorrow, not Big Frog, but Buzzard Point. That's, you know, I mentioned to him Benton Falls. And I said, you know, instead of Big Frog, how about Benton Falls? And then what he reminded me of was kind of like, yeah, it's not as far, but it's almost the same amount of up. And I was kind of like, oh, that's right. So this is only a few hundred feet up. And the trip, you know, from the parking lot to the top of Buzzard Point, I think it's only about 3 miles. So it's not that big of a trip. But, you know, it's an interesting trip. And, of course, gets us out. And we'll probably do the typical thing if it does transpire. You know, we'll make the trip out there, and on the trip going to the top, it's, you know, in-depth theology. When we get back, start turning around, where's the car? Anyway, that's just simply the norm. But if that happens tomorrow, I will be more than delighted. If it doesn't, oh well. I am really encouraged to have a friend who enjoys doing something I enjoy doing, the hiking. And I'm grateful we can do that. I find my relationship with Chris to be one of the most important relationships I've had in my life. He is by far, you know, beyond family, the best male friend I've ever had. A close brother. I'd rather have that same kind. You know, he has a good relationship with his two sons. You know, daughter, daughter-in-law, grandkids, he sees them. I don't. I want to. Because I want them to endure in the sense of abiding under Christ. As hopefully maybe this weekend I will go in depth on. Then maybe something I need to put on. Do something. And I got to think about that. Maybe it's something I need to do. Because I haven't put anything on BitChute or things of that nature in a long while. Except for the modern day slavery video is the last thing I did. Maybe I ought to go into the endure thing. And put that not as a voicemail, but as a... What does it mean? I'm glad you suggested that. Thank you. And why, you know, the question I asked Chris via email, and I haven't got a response yet, is, you know, because we each have a different tug in our heart. You know, I understand, because I've dealt with a lot of people who try to go feed the hungry. And I think it's a noble task. You know, and in some cases, I've worked towards that. But it's not my passion, not my drive. And my drive started pro-life. It expanded to, you know, black-white relationships and things of that nature and other cultures even beyond that. You know, that's why, you know, again, I have friends who are Indian and so forth. I've, you know, kind of expanded that. But those haven't been quite the focus. But then the thing that became very related to that was slavery. And, you know, the difference is, again, when it comes to the abortion question, I think I've matured to the point, and I do believe this is maturing, the idea that abortion is murder, don't outlaw it. Because it was, that's seeded from the idea that my personal move from Psalm 139, the common pro-life passage, to Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply, God's first command to man. And that really lessened my welcoming, my being welcome in the pro-life community. Also, having 9 kids does not welcome you as much in the pro-life community because you're setting a model that's an example for the flock, the First Peter that we talked about yesterday, the day before, whatever. But then, you know, the slavery thing. Because, you know, it's, speaking of, a year plus ago, Chris and I walked Eureka Trail in Athens. You know, this was 11-mile round trip, flat as it can be, but a delightful trip. And then we sat down at a restaurant, and I got a bottle of water, and it was Deer Park. And then suddenly it hit me. I'm really thirsty, and here's a bottle of water that by itself probably has no involvement per se on slavery. But the company that owns Deer Park is Nestle. And I have a personal commitment, not something I impose, but a personal commitment. I will not knowingly buy or consume a Nestle product because they're one of the largest users of abject slave labor. I can't. But it's a personal conviction. I don't look down on Chris who drank the bottle of water. I don't look down at him at all. But for me, I have to, dare I say, practice what I preach. Oh, gee. One of these days I'll go back to the 3-minute voicemails. I want to give this to my kids. The software now is back in place. Maybe. Because, you know, again, as I pointed out before, what I have done is I've developed a foundation. You know, it's so easy to simply take what somebody has, you know, build on top of Windows or Linux or something of the nature and you know, build a structure, use all sorts of development tool or, you know, high-level languages and whatnot. Done none of that. Shelfware Nexus is designed to run on bare hardware, no operating system. It is the operating system. Right now it's running on top of Windows, but only because that's my development environment and you know, I haven't moved off because I haven't at the time. But the structure of it, because again, if you look at the tools, you can see that what it's doing, the tools are showing, it's processing the packet. You know, it takes what Windows does with packet communications, undoes it in order to give you the raw format to do it again, which is somewhat inefficient in a sense. But the purpose behind that is the transition, because then the same stuff that works in Windows works in Linux and works in bare hardware. That's the point of this. And then, of course, the tools I would suggest are quite nice. But then, of course, basic email. And you know, again, the point of basic email is one of the most, I think, insightful designs of the internet is email. Reason being, it was designed to be resilient and not centralized. Because if I'm going to send an email to john@kozlowski.org, it can go to that server or that server and eventually get to me. And those techniques were put in from the beginning. And this opens the door to a business model where it's not a central corporation like Google, but, you know, Alice runs her server, Bob runs his server. They're both running, you know, Heritage Systems is the example I'm going to use. And I'm going to try to get a few other people to say, okay, would you run a server for, you know, the one version of Heritage System, another version of Heritage System? So, you know, I'll use this as a test. So you can go to one or two places and the person who processes it basically makes a little money out of it. So it's a business venture for an individual. And then an individual, assuming you can build enough, you're either getting supplemental income or you can build your own career that's based on not working for somebody else, but yours. And the advantage is that it's not, you know, it is like the farmer's market, because I had that conversation today. It's not centralized control of the farmer's market. I want you to have your business flourish. And we're both doing, again, the Heritage Systems example, or, you know, whatever. We're both hosting the same as the intermediary in order to provide a whole bunch of, because what we've set up is a reliable model. And if you get business, so do I. And so does that person. So does that person. You build an ecosystem. And it's the ecosystem that becomes vital, because now it's not an organization. And if somebody's compromised or has to bow out for whatever reason, the ecosystem is fine. That's the point. And this is a big deal. Plus, there are techniques in there, not only to benefit, but if I'm the receipt, because, you know, one of the focuses is the email list idea. And it's not just simply, oh, you know, so I can send junk mail to a bunch. Well, yes, you could. But the difference is the receiving party has a whole bunch of, you know, down to the technical level information about the emails that were sent to him. Because he has effectively a unique server that sends to him. So if I have an email list of 1,000 people I effectively have, you know, 1,000 separate systems, each doing it separately. And the recipient can go to that one and, you know, manage their accounts, whatnot, see what was sent to them and those kind of things. And it's being an asset to both parties. But with that infrastructure, you also have the idea of, you know, people want to get into, you know, Twitter or Facebook so they have friends and whatnot. Well, this does the same kind of thing in a sense, but you're not list, you know, the original, what was it, 140 character tweet or whatnot, or all, you know, the various limitations. You're not sending a message back and forth, but you're sending an email. And the advantage is it opens the door to some additional anonymity and things of that nature, the ability to still have the same, roughly the same user interface that you would have on like a Twitter or Facebook where I can see things. But because of the calendar, the dating structure I have, I can peruse a little bit differently. I don't have to be like, you know, again, Acts 17, always wanting to know the latest. That's where this whole idea, basically you can see, and again, the Bible beat Facebook by 2,000 years on that whole idea. But it opens the door to dialogues, and it opens the door to real dialogues, because now it's what Twitter has, I think they call the direct messaging, DMs. Yeah. I don't do it, so I don't. But you have that structure, but you don't have the corporate giant of Twitter or Facebook or Meta, controlling you. This is an ecosystem. I'm getting long. What I need are allies. One ally to says yes. Not only am I going to say, oh, that'd be great when you have it, but somebody says, yes, I want to be part of making it happen. I need that desperately. I need that so badly. I'm grateful that one party said, especially in reference to the modern day slavery, I want to see this happen. So the financial issue was taken care of. But in July, I'm going to be wondering about eating again. So there's pressure. I need allies. I need them desperately. One of the best allies I could have was the woman who committed her life to, that lady right there. She committed her life to me. You know, said for better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and health, that death do us part. Unfortunately, she lied. But As I can say for another couple hundred plus times, I'm keeping the promise because, as the card says, they're one until death. It's not just the Book of Common Prayer that says that, which is obviously the commitment. But again, the Lord saying, I will never leave you or forsake you, called the husband model him. And as I argue, marriage begins with sex and ends with death. You know, those who try to prove me wrong, they just abandon the table. How normal. The point of this here is to show you I'm not giving up. Fourth match. I'm still here. I'm still striving to reconcile. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.